Quick update, I'm launching a new course for 2025. It's Foundations of Application Security. It's a two-day bootcamp covering everything you need to become a well-rounded AppSec practitioner. There's both public and private courses available, and the best part about it all is taught by me. So if you're interested, just send me an email, call@galahcyber.com.au, or say hi on LinkedIn if you can have a chat about it.
Hi, I'm Cole Cornford, and this is Secured, the podcast that dives deep into the world of application security. While working as head of cybersecurity business services at Australia Post, Susie Jones worked on a product that was designed to support small businesses that had suffered a data breach.
We interviewed dozens of small business owners who had had data breaches, and hearing their personal stories of what went wrong and the impact that that incident had on them was really, really real for them. It was the worst working day of their life.
Susie came to believe that existing cybersecurity tools to support was generally either too expensive for Australian small businesses or didn't suit their needs. And so she co-founded Cinch Security, which aims to fill that gap. I had a great conversation with Susie. We spoke about her career, the benefits of coming from a non-technical background, and we did a bit of a deep dive on the needs of small businesses and how we can secure them. So let's jump right on in. All right. So Susie, welcome to the show. How are you feeling?
Pretty good, thank you. Thanks for having me.
You're back from the New Year's break. Are you feeling excited to just get back into security?
Yeah, I am actually. It's been the first year out of a few with, you know, post-pandemic, et cetera, where I'm really starting the year going, you know what, we've got everything that we need. Now we just need to, you know, get our heads down and do the work. So really looking forward to getting into it.
I feel like last couple of years, I've just kind of had this period. Last year I had my baby.
Yes.
So there was just a complete fog of like, I don't know what the hell I'm doing because I had a screaming child.
Yep.
And the year before that was like when the Delta lockdowns, I think, were happening. So that was also a bit of a fog of war as well. So,
yeah, well, the year before that, I actually started the year by getting COVID on New Year's Day. So,
Man, that's not good. There's a new variant going around nowadays as well. So my daughter's daycare apparently has had, I took her out of daycare the other day just because.
So many cases.
We were feeling guilty about because it was her third day.
Yep.
And we just said, I just don't want to have her in daycare.
Yep.
And then it turns out it was a COVID infestation that day. So we like made the right choice by just like not taking her to daycare on day three because we felt bad as parents.
Parents' guilt is real.
Oh dear. But anyway, let's go on to the questions. So first one I've got for you is, what kind of bird are you and why? And for a bit of context, the reason that we ask this question is because I run a company called Galah Cyber, and I wanted to choose a Galah because they're bright, colorful, and obnoxious, and I think that's a bit like my kind of personality. But what about you? What kind of bird are you?
I think about this. I think I'm a penguin.
Penguin.
What I love about penguins, when you watch videos and they constantly fall down, but then they just pick themselves straight back up again and keep going. And, you know, they just keep going on with their life. And I think that sort of resilience is definitely something I stand for.
Do you newt-newt at people as well, like Pingu?
No, but I did go to Gold Coast a couple of years ago and we did the penguin experience at SeaWorld, and that was fabulous.
So do they normally just fall over and get back up? Is that what
I mean, you've got to realise they're flightless birds for starters, and they're walking around on ice all day. Like, ice is slippery, so they fall down all the time.
That is a good point. That is a good point. And yeah, huddle together as well, because you're here to help all the people in the community, right?
Exactly right. So my kind of bird, flightless and community-minded.
So that probably brings me up into the next one. So maybe you give the audience a bit of background about your expertise and where you came from.
Yeah, absolutely. So I certainly didn't come into security the way many do through technology. So I actually started my career as a corporate insurance broker and, you know, specialized in risk management for large enterprises right across the country. I then moved into the broader risk management space, cyber risk management. I worked on the client side and actually purchased their first cyber insurance policy. And that was my first sort of entree into the cyber world because I needed to work with the internal cyber team to get all the information to buy the policy. And that's when I started to really have my eyes open to just how broad this industry is, just how real the risks are, and how complicated it can be for a non-tech person to understand what this world is. And so over sort of the next couple of years of my career, I met my now co-founder, Adam Selwood. And yes, just sort of took it from there. And I found that being that translator from, you know, technical people working on really interesting deep tech solutions and the business that needs to understand what the value of that is, that's my superpower. So that's what I spend all day doing.
I think that's like one of the things we see quite commonly is people coming from like non-cognate just backgrounds into cybersecurity. And I think that gives you a very unique proposition. I've been working with the University of Newcastle to help fix up their cyber degree. And I guess, stupidly enough, I agreed to be in marketing material. And so I took my daughter to go see Wish at the cinemas. And then guess who turns up on the screen? Daddy talking about why nurses and doctors are going to be great cyber professionals because they have a unique perspective into stuff, right? So, I mean, I think so. That makes sense to me. Like coming from insurance and risk, from writing policies and helping people make decisions about that, you have a lens that I think naturally plays to the SMB space, to be honest, because a lot of people who come from pure tech backgrounds who know network security and application security like myself, or they might be good at pen testing, you go to an SMB owner and they would have like no idea about any of these concepts, let alone multi-factor authentication or things that we would normally take for granted for just being in the industry for a year or two.
Absolutely. And also they don't appreciate that cybersecurity for a non-cyber professional, for a business owner running their business, cybersecurity is one of 50 things they might need to think about on any given day. And it's not that they don't care. It's not that they don't want to give it more time and energy, but they just, you know, they're running a business here. They're doing whatever it is that they're actually experts at. And so as a non-cyber person working with SMBs, it's really, really helpful for me to understand that there are different priorities and how we can balance those out.
I mean, you probably have it because we've gone through hell and high water. When you start your own business, you just put on the hat that you've never worn before of like, how do I sell this to other people? How do I market what I'm doing in an effective way? How do I get people to actually, you know, agree to transact, because this problem is actually so obtuse? And it's not like cybersecurity, you're selling protection. You know, it's just a pure cost most of the time. So it's kind of hard.
Yeah, exactly right. Because, I mean, so often, if we're doing our job well, nothing happens. Yeah. It's pretty hard to understand the value when literally nothing happens when you do the job well. So, yeah, it can be tricky. And you and I both know we've spent years building out our value proposition because we know that nothing happening doesn't mean nothing has been generated or nothing has been well invested.
Yeah. So what sparked you to go from a, like, you know, because you were at a corporate position previously, like managing a large information security program, to go be a founder helping SMB. What sparked your desire in that space?
Yeah, it was actually a project. So I, for context, I worked at Australia Post. I was head of cybersecurity business services in their information security office there. But on nights and weekends, my co-founder and I were working on what was the beginnings of Sinch. And the reason for that is we had spent 6 months working together on a project within Australia Post that was designed around building a product for small businesses that had suffered a data breach. And so as part of that research for that product, we interviewed dozens of small business owners who had had data breaches, and hearing their personal stories of what went wrong and the impact that that incident had on them was really, really real for them. It was not, yeah, sure, there was definitely financial repercussions, etc. But for them as people, as humans, it was the worst working day of their life. And, you know, in a large context like Australia Post, you have an incident, it can make for a pretty bad week, maybe even a bad month. But, you know, life moves on. You get past it. But in a small business context, it can truly bring everything to a stop. And with the industry in security being focused only at the top end of town, it means that they were completely left on their own. And we just decided to do something about it. And so Sinch was born. So we're all about supporting those that don't have the resources that large enterprises have to help avoid that day being one of the worst days of their lives.
Oh, that's a fantastic mission. And it's really good to have had those personal interactions of people who have suffered, because then that makes it more real for you. Because I feel that a lot of cyber professionals, it's quite nebulous and like abstracted away what the actual impact to business is of the things that we do, other than you're slowing my project down and you're costing way too much money.
Absolutely. We've all been called the head of the department of no before, right? Like we've all heard that, but seeing on the other side the very personal and emotional impact that an incident can have on a business owner definitely raises the raises the risk and also the reward.
So let's fix the handbrake to happiness, right?
Exactly.
All right. So let's go into some of the questions about SMBs, right? So first one is, what do you think the most common cybersecurity challenges for someone who is classified as an SMB are?
Yeah, look, they're working with different constraints. So if you think about a small business, and within the Australian context, I'm usually referring to a business that has, you know, somewhere between, you know, 5 and 50 employees. So they have three main constraints that large enterprises don't have. So first of all, their budget. So sure, whilst everybody has to work within their budget, in a small business, a budget might be $500 a year. So, you know, if you're talking that, there's no option for a seam. There's no, you know, none of the solutions that, you know, we would always want to see in place for a large corporate are even available. Secondly, the time. As I mentioned before, small business owners are juggling 50 different things on any given minute of any given day. So having the time to really sit down, learn a new skill, learn what it is they need to do, research the solutions, all the rest of it, it's just not something that they have. So they need efficient solutions. And lastly, it's the expertise. You know, we're talking about somebody that goes into business because they're a mortgage broker or a real estate agent or, you know, a GP. These are not people that set out to build a business. They set out to do what they are experts at. And they just wanted to do it on their own terms. So when that's the case, when you don't have internal tech expertise, let alone cyber expertise, the whole challenge is completely different to large enterprises.
Yeah, I know that, like, if we didn't have our backgrounds in cybersecurity, I'm sure that we'd be in a similar boat, right?
Oh, absolutely. I think about, like, if I had started 10 years ago, if I'd gone off and decided to start my own corporate insurance broking business, I shudder to think on what the security of that business would have been 10 years ago, because I simply didn't know what I know now. And it wasn't spoken about as readily as it is now as well. So I would never even known it was a thing that I should be thinking about.
Yeah, even like some of the businesses I speak with, they're just like, what? I didn't even realize that there are security professionals in Newcastle.
Yeah.
Like, it's a thing. Like, I thought that was something that only, you know, intelligence agencies did.
Yeah.
And I'm just like,
oh, wow. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Okay. I mean, like, it's just real.
And it's completely reasonable, right? Like, it's, as somebody that has never worked in this space, it's a reasonable assumption to have. But, you know, this is why people like you and me are trying to shout from the rooftops and let people know the good message.
And I do like a fair bit of like SMB work up in Newey, where we, you know, I meet, go to like the like local business golf games and like just meet people and they're like, I'm a plasterer or I'm an accountant and I've got like 50 clients. And then you're like, oh, okay, one of those clients is, I don't know, Whitehaven Coal.
Yeah.
Or like one of these like, you know, 100 million, play $2 billion companies. So it's just got like this small accountancy shop who's been mates from high school 40 years ago or something.
Yep.
And they're like, should I do cybersecurity? And I'm just like, I don't know. Do you think the Whitehaven would like you to do it?
Exactly right. And that whole, you know, supplier-customer relationship is what really, I think, is driving change throughout the small business ecosystem. So we know we've now expanded at Sinch. Previously, we had solutions that were only designed for the small businesses out there to use. And now we've expanded to have a supply chain assurance solution because there are so many small businesses that are working with the biggest businesses in this country. 97% of businesses here in Australia employed fewer than 20 people. So when you're talking that sort of number, then every big business relies on small businesses. It's as simple as that. And say you're running a, I don't know, some sort of engineering company out in the middle of WA, 600 kilometres from the next engineering company, and the Telstras of the world have a network that they need to still run 600 kilometres from the next company, then you're going to be the one that they use. But that also means that you're dialing into Telstra's network, which creates a whole different risk. So that's the mission that we're on now, is to help all of those businesses that are working with big ones to make sure that they can keep the revenue that they have, but also demonstrate how good they are so that they can win more business in the future.
Supply chain's a really interesting one for SMB because we see news articles all the time that XYZ large institution got hacked because IT help desk that was outsourced to a small IT MSP who has no security procedures, but they managed to bid really cheap and win the contract. They're the ones that got owned in the first place to go up into the organization. But like you said, these kind of companies with 5 to 50 people don't have the time or expertise to invest in these programs. So how do you guys help manage compliance? Because I get a lot of people coming to me saying, let's do 27001. And then I say, okay,
Why?
Do you want to lose 12 months of your life and hundreds of thousands of dollars? If you want to, sure, we can. Yeah, no. So look, this is exactly why we approach the problem that we do. So as you know, Cole, at Cinch, we've built a software as a service solution for small businesses that does all of that risk prioritization, risk management for them. So all they need to do is register the assets, the technologies that they use, and our platform tells them exactly what they need to do and in what order. And if they do want to aspire towards something like ISO 27001, they can use one of our cyber fitness programs to help them, to guide them, to put the controls in place that they will need so that they can do that work upfront before they engage a security consultant that's going to build out a roadmap for them and then charge them, you know, $5,000 a day to put all of the things in place. Whereas, you know, the reality is if they just registered their assets with us and followed the step-by-step instructions, they could do it themselves in between all of the rest of the work in their day.
I wish that, like, you know, we had more accessible content for these, like, providers, because the amount of times where I've had a chat with someone and had to move them over to Cinch because, like, we've immediately worked out from just where they're at on GP plus revenue plus cash flow that they would never be able to support, like, talking to consultants for hours, let alone, like, days or weeks, right?
Exactly right. And not only that, but it also, that's not where your value is, right, Cole? So, you know, you are a deeply technical person, that those small businesses that are in that position, they're not going to realize the benefit of working with someone like you, because that's not where their business is at. Quite often, business owners work with us as they're growing and they're going through those early few years of their company. And then eventually they get to the point where they now have a technology solution that they're trying to sell and they go, oh, okay, this is when I need Cole. Like, this is the time where your expertise is going to really help them out, right?
Yeah, it's the scale-ups. That's where we hit it. So scale-ups and enterprises. But yeah, it does. I mean, it makes sense that the market, like, the security market does target a big end of town because that's generally where they can actually make the money out of it. But you're right, it has led to, like, perverse incentives where 90% of our employers in Australia aren't helped by existing solutions, right?
Yep, exactly right. It's perverse is exactly the right word for the situation that we've ended up in. And it's not just Australia. It is like this in developed countries right around the world. Australia just happens to be the one that I care about.
So going back to like the types of things that larger companies are able to just assume that they are naturally able to be done and smaller companies just cannot do, what would you say would be the worst suggestions that you'd hear, like, a security consultant give to a small business because they've seen it in a larger firm?
Yeah, look, things like a SIEM, things like, you know, running enterprise-grade vulnerability management software, those sort of, you know, deeply technical solutions where they're designed by security experts for security experts to use. If you need a security degree to use the tool or the software that you're talking about, then it is not applicable for small businesses, even if it's priced at a price that they could afford, because they can't. It will end up being shelfware in any small business context. So really thinking about who is going to be using the solution, who's going to be implementing it, who's going to be maintaining it. If you need a tech background for any of those steps, then it's not appropriate for small businesses.
Yeah, I see very similar parallels within the AppSec space, where a lot of the traditional application security products were given directly to, let's say, AppSec experts.
Yeah.
And then they realized that we can be delegating this responsibility over to software developers who may not necessarily have security expertise, but they're going to scale a lot more than getting a lot of calls out there, right?
Yeah.
So I'm sure that we can probably find the right types of products to suit. So then going back to it, what do you think the best tips you would give to an SMB would be? Like, if I had to invest in products, where would they start?
Look, I would start with the people. So if you have a team of people, then start investing in their security.
Yep.
And one of the first steps that we recommend to every small business out there is a password manager. You know, being able to get on top of their access management, being able to get them to be able to better manage and set strong, unique passwords. That's a great place to start. And the second place to start is putting multi-factor authentication on everything. We've been banging on about this in the industry for years, but we still make it just too hard for people to understand the value. The simple fact is, if you have to get access to a security code that only you physically have access to in order to get into a program that you use, then that's more secure than just using a strong password. And we just need to get better at having those conversations. So really getting on top of your access control in the first place is incredibly important. Secondly, backups. Backups are still completely underrated. And I think some of this has come about through the transition to cloud services, because many people don't realize, they assume that a backup is always included in their cloud service. But for some products and solutions out there, it's not. It's an option. And so, you need to actually go into the settings. You need to understand what is required to make sure that a backup is in place. Because I tell you what, if you fall victim to ransomware, a backup is your best friend.
Yeah, I agree, Vice. And it's amazing how few people go to such simple solutions first, and none of those are cost prohibitive. In fact, they're actually usually negligible.
Yeah.
Because if you're using O365 or you're using Google Workspace, you can always download your documents and put them on a physical device somewhere.
Exactly.
And then you should be okay. Even if those tenancies get owned, you still have your backups elsewhere.
Yeah, exactly. And password managers, we're a reseller for one, and it's as little as $9 per staff member per month. That's nothing. It's completely negligible. But if it helps you quickly and easily log into all of your solutions, generate passwords that you never have to remember, and means that the only password you need to remember for the rest of your days is the password to get into your password manager, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah. Do you find a lot of small businesses outsource the IT responsibility to a third party? And then if they do, how do you as a director of a business then go and actually have the knowledge to be able to ask your supplier to make good choices?
Yeah. So around about half of the small businesses that we work with do have outsourced IT support, whether they be in a formal MSP or MSSP arrangement, or just they have an IT guy down the road.
They have the guy. Yeah. He's from uni. He's all right. He got his glasses. He knows what he's doing.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. He set up their website and all the rest of it. And that's the problem, is that there is such, there's a huge difference in quality in service between, the IT guy down the corner shop and your MSSP that have, formal services arrangements in place. So making sure that if you're going to outsource the management, and keeping in mind you can't outsource the risk, all you can do is outsource the management of the risk, then really making sure that you have educated yourself on the right questions to ask when selecting that provider is really important. Making sure that you can walk away, have confidence, and know which aspects of the risk they are responsible for managing versus which things you always have in-house. At the end of the day, teaching your staff to not click on links is not the IT support provider's role, right? That is your role, and it is always your risk.
I guess that's one of the things that me and you would have to grapple with quite a lot, is that we know our expertise is in security and a few other niche areas that we're probably pretty good at. For both of us, we're good at communicating, good at sales, but we're probably pretty terrible at legal or terrible at, IT in some way. I'm terrible at IT. I don't want to be managing Google Workspace. I do. I don't like it. It's not fun. It's not my area of expertise. I would love to get rid of it.
It's not fun. Yeah.
But one of the things that I always see it is that we have to recognize that even if you have delegated the risk to some other party to manage or to a product, that unfortunately delegating it doesn't eliminate it, and that you're ultimately still going to have to assume ownership of it yourself.
Absolutely. And it's like the old comparison to insurance, right? So at the end of the day, everybody buys house insurance, and that's for the day that your house burns on fire, but you still lock the door when you leave, because there's other risks involved in that are still inherent when you have an asset, and your business is an asset. So whilst you buy insurance to help protect and transfer some of that risk of the epic event, those everyday to day events still need to be managed, and that risk is still there.
Yeah. So I guess one last one on the SMB topic is, if I was an aspiring entrepreneur or just a new company director, what is the one resource I should learn to make sure that I understand the types of things, the risks I'm delegating out to other parties and that I have to own myself?
Yeah, the great place to start is always cyber.gov.au. It's really good at telling you what you should be thinking about. It's not great at telling you how to actually implement anything, but that's when you come to the likes of Cinch, because that's what we do. But if you're starting out and just wanting to familiarize yourself with what things do I need to start thinking about, that's a great place to start.
All right, on to the rapid fire questions. Here we go. So, best book to give someone for Christmas?
For Christmas, okay.
Yes.
Oh, okay. I love the ones by Samuel Johnson. So Dear Dad, etc. He's just a wonderful human being on a fabulous mission, and those books are really uplifting and heartwarming.
Best parenting tip?
So, fun fact, I'm not actually a parent, but I am a step-parent.
That doesn't stop people from giving tips about parenting if they're not parents anyway. I get it all the time. They're like, I have no kids, but this is what I read on the internet, so you should do this. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah, look, I mean, the best parenting tip that I can give from a stepmom to people out there is you don't always have to be the parent. Sometimes you can be the silly friend, and that's perfectly okay.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that a lot. My daughter, Cindy, I'm always a silly friend of her pretty much. And when I need to step in as a parent, something silly's happened. Like, I need to really put my foot down, but pretty rarely.
Yep.
So I'm okay with swapping when I need to. I can be the friend.
Exactly.
One cybersecurity myth you would love to debunk?
I think that what I would like to debunk, it's actually more with the security industry rather than small businesses that I think needs this debunked. Security professionals quite often make the assumption that small businesses don't do enough on cyber because they don't care. And that is absolutely not the case. They care. They absolutely care. This is their business. This is their livelihood. For many of them, it's like their identity. Small businesses don't do enough with security because the security industry doesn't do enough to support small businesses. So flipping that on its head is definitely a myth I want out there.
Yeah, I like the inversion principle, and also it's part of the reason I love going to, like, just getting outside of the tech space entirely, like going and playing golf with plasterers, right, and doctors. You can talk to them and, like, they'll whinge to you and say, like, homeowners just don't understand, like, why I have to go out and do a quote because the cost of materials changes. I can't just give a quote on the spot. Like, why does everyone want a quote on the spot? I don't feel like being badgered. I just run away from those people. Or doctors saying to me, like, man, like, the Medicare updates have mean that there's just, I need to be able to charge more people at this rate. And you'd think that with these kind of conversations that it's very similar to cybersecurity professionals whinging about, you know, why are people not doing this kind of stuff? But, like, every industry is frustrated with, like, their clients, unfortunately, and we've just got to accept it, right?
Yeah, spot on. And I mean, they're all very real problems that they're having to deal with, right? It's just, cybersecurity is just one of them. No matter how much we would like to think it should be number one for everyone, if you're a doctor, you're going to be far more concerned with how do you make sure that you can support as many patients as possible than you are going to be worried about the, you know, how strong is the security on the computer at the front desk?
My superpower, I guess, is understanding business quite well. And that helps me a lot with both software and security. So what do you say your superpower is?
That translation between general business speak and technical language. I've done it.
Fist bump.
You know, I've done it from, you know, complex insurance policies back in my 20s, you know, risk management policies and processes in my 30s, and technology and cybersecurity is just another thing that needs that translation. So that's what I do.
All right. Well, if you guys need any more translation, hit up Susie Jones at Cinch. So Susie, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me, Cole.
Thanks a lot for listening to this episode of Secured. If you got any feedback at all, feel free to hit us up and let us know. If you'd like to learn more about how Galah Cyber can help keep your business secured, go to galahcyber.com.au. If you're new to the show or a seasoned veteran, I want to hear from you. I'm always looking to do better as a podcast host and as a person. So tell me about what I can do better. Tell me about the types of people you want on my podcast. Tell me about if the format's working for you or styles need to be switched up. Do I need to interview differently? So on and so forth. I appreciate you sticking with me for almost 30 episodes at this stage. And I hope I can keep learning and you can keep learning and being entertained for many more episodes to come. So please shoot me feedback. I want the good, the bad, and the ugly to pod@galahcyber.com.au. And if you don't like email, hit me up on LinkedIn.